All right, so I'm just going to do a quick recap. Last week, we were still in Genesis 1, verse 26, and we talked about the difficult issue of abortion. I showed you that graph about how many Christians actually say abortion should be legal. We looked at the three reasons that Christians would say that. The first one was rape, incest, deformity, and finally the life of a mother. And I believe I showed you guys through Scripture that life begins in conception. We talked about how the sperm and the egg, when they meet, as soon as the sperm enters, it seals that no other sperm can get into there. And I showed you the Scriptures where God said to Jeremiah and to David, they were fearfully and wonderfully made, and he knew them before they were born and also in the womb. So we looked at all those parts of it and how children or babies even in the womb are made in the image of God and how we can tend to forget that because we don't see out of sight, out of mind. We also talked about how God sees in the inside, man sees with his eyes, and we can easily forget that babies even in the womb were made in the image of God. And if you continue to let them go, they will turn into a human being. So I think that was pretty clear, right? We looked at all those scriptures, and that's what we left off with. Also, I talked about how if you're a woman who did it on her own, or if you were the husband or the man, or a father or mother or a friend, there's all equal responsibility in that. And in Christ, there's no condemnation when you come to the Lord Jesus. All those things are wiped away, and everything started over again, and the child is in heaven. All right, so we're going to stay. I should have just started a series because the more I look at these things, I see different interesting things when it comes to God, his image, and how it applies to our lives, and even when it comes to the book of Revelation. So open your Bibles right now and go to Revelation chapter 13. Revelation chapter 13. We're in the first book, and now we're going to go to the end to take a look at something really quick. Let me get rid of this while you guys are searching. Revelation 13, and I guess we could maybe just go through the whole chapter. Let me start that. All right, you guys there? Now, if I missed something, I had a typo or user error or technical issue that I might be missing something in here. So if I'm missing a verse or something, just put your hand up or say, hey, you missed a verse. All right, let's read Revelation, and we're still on day six. So this applies to day six, and when we go through this, I'm going to show you what exactly is the number of a man. So we're going to read Revelation and how it pertains to Genesis. And I say that, you've heard this before, in order to find out why we are where we are, we need to understand where we came from. So Genesis, remember, was the beginning of everything. It was the beginning of everything we see and also the fall. So to understand why Revelation is and what we're going to see from here, how Genesis applies to this, we're going to read it. And I think we'll just go through the whole thing. Revelation 1, starting from verse 1. Then I stood on the sand of the seas, and I saw the beast rising out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and on his horns ten crowns. This is talking about kingdoms and dominions, powers, all that stuff throughout history. If you look at the beginning of Revelation, they take you through history, basically. And on his heads, blasphemous names. Now the beast which I saw was like a leopard, his feet were like the feet of a bear, and his mouth like the mouth of a lion. This is what I want you guys to focus on. The dragon, who obviously is the devil, gave him three things: his power, his throne, and his great authority. And I saw one, we'll get back to that later, and I saw one of his heads as if it had been mortally wounded. And his deadly wound was healed, and all the world marveled and followed the beast. So they worshipped the dragon who gave authority to the beast, and they worshipped the beast, saying, who is like the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And he was given a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and he was given authority to continue for 42 months. Then he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name. his tabernacle and those who dwell in heaven. It was granted to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them, and authority was given to him over every tribe, tongue, and nation. Hold on to the word authority as well. All who dwell on the earth will worship him, whose name have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If anyone has ears, let him hear. He who, and when you hear that things, in other words, listen, understand, and ponder what I am saying. He who leads into captivity shall go into captivity. He who kills with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the fate of the saints. Then I saw another beast coming out from the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb and spoke like a dragon. And he exercised all authority. Authority is a key word also. Of the first beast, beast is keywords as well. They can represent power, kingdoms as well. In his presence. And caused the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast, whose mortal wounds was healed. He performs great signs so that even makes fire come down from earth on the earth in the sight of men, from heaven, sorry. And he deceives those who dwell on the earth by those signs which he was granted to do in the sight of all the beast? Yeah, of the beast. There's a typo right there. Telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who was wounded by the sword and lived. He was granted power. Power is a key word. To give breath to the image, and image is a key word as well, of the beast. That the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many would not worship the image to be killed. So when you look at these things too, you look at the great signs and wonders, fire from sky. That also could be right now nuclear war, all that jazz that you see a lot of people and scholars and prophecy people said it could be Hiroshima and all those things when you're looking at it. But we're not going to get into that right now. All right, 16. He causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand and on their foreheads, and that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark, the name or the number of his name. Okay, so I want to stop here, and I want to, so you understand when you're looking at the beginning of 17, it says who has the mark or. In the original Greek, the word or is not there. I don't know why they put it in there, but it isn't. It would be read like this, who has the mark, you would stop, and then he goes into explaining what the mark is. The mark is the name and the number of his name. So it's, and that no one may buy or sell except that he has the mark, which is the name and the number of his name. So it's not in the original Greek, and the word name anmona is anom, if I'm pronouncing that right. And that definition means authority, character, fame, or reputation. So it's the authority of. A name, generally, when you look at the Roman Empire, if you go in the name of anyone. I think I talked about how when I sold insurance, State Farm, I represented the power of State Farm. And that's the same thing when you look over here. So it's saying, first off, one of these marks, of course, the mark is something else, but one, in order to have the mark, you have to have the name. The second one is a number, and it's the word artimos. The definition, of course, is a number, total, or group. And that's from the root word coming of aio, if I'm pronouncing it right. Definition is to risk, to rise, take up, and lift. Now, in essence, this is how you would look at it. He says, here is wisdom. Let him who understands calculate the number of the beast, for it is a number of a man, and his number is 666. So we're going to look at what that number is and how does it apply when it has to do with Genesis. Remember, to understand what 666 means and why is it the number of a man and how does it belong to humans. Genesis plays a role, and we're going to see, as I saw this, and again, you guys judge, there's a pattern. Looking at the beginning helps you understand the end. But we're going to go back into this definition and what it means. So you got to give, in essence, you're bowing down and you're okay, your thumbs up to say, I'm going to worship you. I give the authority to you. So what is that? If you want to know more, actually, you can go to Cracking the Prophetic Code. It was made in 2000, and it's on YouTube. I'm looking at a little bit something different, but if you want to go more deeper into it, Cracking the Prophetic Code on YouTube for free, or Amazon Prime on your time off, you can do that. All right, so we read all that, and going back to it, it says this: the dragon gave him his power, and this is a word that Tim uses often. What does power mean, Tim? Dunamis, you know that. You know that. It's dunamis. The definition of this one in this context first is miracles, might, strength, physical power, ability, effectiveness, energy. That comes from this root word dunamaa. Dunamaa, and that means to be able to have power. So when you look at this, this is talking about the power, could be talking about the power of the monetary systems. And we're going to look how that plays into Genesis again, okay? So just keep in mind, the next one he gave, the devil gave to the beast, was his throne. The word means throna, to sit, or a steady seat. So here you see he gives them the kingdom. He's going to have a steady kingdom that's under one. It's a world government, which we see right now, and it's going to be, in essence, steady, unbreakable at that time. The next one, which Satan gave, he said great authority. And the word great authority means power to act, moral authority, and influence. So when you're looking at that authority, that can be linked to the religious system that we have right now. So there's three things that Satan gave to the beast. All right. Okay, and so we're going on to what we talked about earlier, and that's where my problem was up there when I put that down there. Going back to 17, and that no one may buy or sell except the one who has the mark. I told you that or is not in there, so there's these two things. And what did that mean in the end? You have to agree to his authority and continue and count it amongst his people. That's basically what you think about that. Give yourself over body, soul, and spirit. The number of his name and what was it? The non-Greek, I lost it. See, there's a lot of problems I put in there. I did this today because when I was studying, all of a sudden this hit me. And I was like, okay, Lord, do you want me to talk about this? It wasn't what I was supposed to do today. So it's the name of the number and you know what I'm talking about. Oh, here it is. Mark. The mark is the name of the beast and the number of his name. There it is. All right, those two things. So a group, let's say, to rise up and to take control over. So he's going to have authority. You must submit to him. Body, soul, and mind. You cannot separate those three things. And we're not going to go too much into that either, but I want to look at these things. How does this pertain to Genesis? Remember, Satan gave three things to the beast, his own power. So now you can go back to Genesis 1:26. Was that clear, or do you want me to restate that? No, seriously. You good? So you see that power was given, and we're looking at how does the number 666 pertain to Genesis? That's what we're looking at. What is this mark of the beast? And I sort of alluded to it, but we'll see if it fits along with Scripture. All right. So are you guys there? All right, so we're still in, obviously, Genesis 1 and 26, and he said first thing is what? Man in his own image, dominion, and he gave him food. On verse 30, it says, I have given every green herb for food on the sixth day. On the sixth day, God made man. The number of man is six. So we're looking at that first six right there. Okay. God gives three primary things to man, and we saw that. Now, don't look at the word three as individual. Sort of look at it as a six, for example, okay? Because we're dealing with the word sixes. Okay, First one was, we said, in the image and likeness of God. On the sixth day, God gives man what? Himself. He gives him to be his image, and it was intimate relationship. The number one thing that God gave us, amongst everything else, is intimate relationship with him. In the fall, what did it turn into? Religion. Because before that, it wasn't a religion, it was a relationship. There was no separation or anything like that. So I wanted to put up here the definition of the word religion. I'm not even going to say it. But the definition of that in the Greek is basically restrictions, fearing or worshiping or prostrating yourself before God, trembling and fearful. That in general is religion when you think about it. So that's the definition of that. And it wasn't like that before the fall. When you look at Genesis 3:10, if you want to go there, you can. It's just a short little verse that I'm going to read. But this is when Adam fell. And it says, Adam said, because God was looking for him. He said, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was what? Naked. There you see the naked. There's some separation there as well. And I hid myself. So all of that, you see fear coming in, nakedness, and he hid himself. There's the difference when you look at the veil. You look as you go on into the Bible, you see the tabernacle, you see the separation of God, and that basically where religion is. But when Christ came back, what did he restore first and foremost? Our relationship, right? We can commune with God. So you see the first thing God gave to man was his image or himself. He gave relationship. We right now think of it as religion, okay? On the sixth day, he gave him religion or relationship. All right. The second thing, let them have dominion over everything, over the earth, over life. On the sixth day, God gave man authority, power, and control over all of life and creation and everything that was in there. That's the second thing he gave on the sixth day. Okay? And these are the three major ones. So you see, he gave them all that power, right? Also, I've given you every green herb of food. That's the third thing he gave. God gave man on the sixth day of creation food. It was free. It was to enjoy. It was for them to just pick as they want to satisfy their flesh. In the fall of man, what do? We have to work to buy our food. The monetary system is all of a sudden set up. What God gave freely back then, man has to pay for and work for. So those are the three things God gave to man. And I'm going to repeat this because it could be a little bit confusing. The first thing, on the sixth day, God gave himself, relationship, now religion. On the sixth day, God gave authority, power, and control over life and creation right here. That's another six, okay? On the sixth day. On the last sixth day, God gave man control over food. And right now, what is it? You got to buy. You got to work. There's a monetary system. We waste 50% of the food we create. Oh, it's just so upsetting. And yet, we still have people in America that are starving. I'm going off track because it's ridiculous the amount of food that we waste. But food now is part of power and greed. It's not necessarily just for free all around. When you look at all the countries that are starving, why are they starving? There is no reason for them to starve. If you look at the politics behind food and money, it's disgusting. So three things God gives us on the sixth day, all right? Going back again, Revelation 13, the dragon gives what? Power, a throne, and authority to the beast. Three things again. So, I don't want to pass it because I might have missed this. Let me see. Okay. So we see that God gives man three things freely. And now we're going to see how did Satan take it. And we all know this. If you guys want, you can go to Genesis 3, verse 6. And we'll take a look at this. Remember, we're talking about day six. That's man's number, it seems. And he's given him three things on the sixth day. All right. This is about the fall. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, there's the first thing. On the sixth day, God gave man control over food. Here's Satan tempting Eve or deceiving her with something God already gave to humans. All right? There it is. That it was pleasing to the eyes. On the sixth day, God gives man authority, power, control over life and all its creation. So everything that man saw, he was the king of, in essence. He already had everything that was pleasing to the eye on the sixth day. Goes on, and a tree desirable to make one wise. On the sixth day, God gives himself intimate relationship and wisdom from God. The wisdom of knowing God, the knowledge of knowing God, the perfectness of being with your Creator. So there's three things that Satan uses to talk to Eve about something God already gave Adam and Eve. Once again, on day six, three things being tempted with, three things that God gave us. Okay, she took of the fruit and voila, here we are, right? Both of them. And once again, that's why I don't have hair and I have a tick in my shoulder that I just can't stop. Okay, so we're going to move on through time right now and see if what you guys may be thinking, what I am thinking, is flowing with the word. Go to Matthew 4, verse 1 to 11. So we see after Eve and Adam and Eve ate of the fruit, who took control of those three things? Satan. Satan took control. They forfeited what they had because they thought they were lacking something, which they didn't. And when we get there, we'll discuss different areas of that and how that plays into it. But we're trying to focus just on these three numbers. All right. So Matthew 4, 1 to 11. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he was hungry. Now when the tempter came to him, he said, the devil, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So here's this. Satan tempts Jesus to cheat by creating bread from a stone for selfish gain. There's one temptation, because you ever think, why does he tempt him with a bread? Who cares about bread? And what does Satan have to do with... I know you care about bread, Lois, and we love your baked goods. But why would Satan care about bread? Huh, Lois? So when you think about that, he was trying again to get Jesus, in essence, the way I see it, is to cheat creating bread, because he had the power to do that for selfish gain. Was he there for himself? Or was he an example to show us how to come against the enemy? So there it was. Here is an interesting thing because it shows a little bit of what Satan has control. Here's another aspect of what bread is. Here's when you see God gave us food, monetary system. Turn it into cash. Don't worry about it. Go buy yourself some bread. So you're looking at the first temptation that was given, the first temptation that Satan took from Adam and Eve that was given to us in the garden on day six. Three things was given. All right, that's the first one. Going on to verse 5. Then the devil took him up into the holy city, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Jesus said to him, it is written, again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. And if you go to, what was it, Luke? I think in Luke it says, away from me, Satan. But here you see Satan tempts Jesus with religious power and pride. Hey, let me take you to the temple. Here, what the temple is a symbol of also. Even back then it was religion. So you're looking at Satan taking him up on the temple and said, throw yourself out because you got the power and authority. You are the creator of all things. You have the religious power and all that. So here again is a temptation of religious power and pride. Okay, here's the third one. Again, the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showing him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. This is the one where he said it. Then Jesus said to him, away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you will serve. So here again, you see Satan taking him to a high mountain. And it's interesting when you read this, because you see, here is Satan. He did not come in a pitchfork. I don't think, and I don't see anywhere in here that Satan wants to look ugly and evil. He still has his beauty. But here you see him with Jesus, and Satan is the one taking him. How do they do that? Just the only way I think about it is like a transporter. You think about how, I forgot his name. Who's the one who went to the Ethiopian eunuch? Philip. He was transported. Remember we talked about water to wine. Again, we're going to bring in how all this stuff and light and everything has nothing to do with God because he's out of time, space, and matter. Here's the universe to God. I will stretch out time and you will be in it, but I won't. So starlight theory, all that jazz, and I'm going back into it. I lost my train of thought. But here's the three things. You see, he's now, he put him up there and says the devil left him and behold, angels came and ministered to him. So here's the third temptation. Satan tempts Jesus to have intimate relations with Satan, and in doing so, he would give him the dominion of this world, the power of this world. Now you see that? You see the three things that he is tempting Jesus with. Something that man had on the sixth day. Three things that Satan took from Adam and Eve. Right? So you see how we're moving along in this, and you see what was the number of man? 666, right? When was man created? On the sixth day. So let's look at this some more. And I think you guys already figured it out. Back again, it says, here is wisdom. Let him who understands calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and the number is 666. So what is the number 666? Why does it belong to man? On the sixth day, God gave man himself, relationship. He was in his image, religion. On the sixth day, God gave man authority, power, control over life and everything on earth. There's another six. On the sixth day, God gave man control over food, the monetary system. There's another six in there. All right. Okay. I'm trying to remember what I wrote here. The number of man is six. He was created under the sixth day. He was given three distinct authorities. Satan deceives them, takes over control of the what? Three sixes. First six, religion. Second six, government. Third six, finances. All of those were powers given to man in the Garden of Eden. All of those were given, in essence, to Satan because of man's disobedience on the sixth day. All right. So 1 John 2:15 says, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. There's those three sixes right there again. The three sixes that Satan tried to tempt Jesus with. The three sixes that is the image of man, that is man in the Garden of Eden that he gave up. So when I look at Genesis here, you see that in the beginning, God gave man dominion, he gave him his image, and he gave him food. The world and the world system, as I see it, is the three sixes of these three powers. Because to me, you see it in the Bible. All of this shows, and Satan tried to tempt Jesus with this. You see this in 1 John, that the world and its system belongs to who? The God of this world. How did he become the God of this world? By taking the authority and everything that was given to man that God gave him, and he usurped it. Yes, we still can do certain things, but now everything has become corrupt. Man is evil. We know that when you think about what Jesus said to the Pharisees, you are of your father, the devil. Right there, he's talking about the religious people. He talks about the love of money, right? Don't even think about anything, what you wear, what you shall eat, because I'll be all of that stuff. So to me, when I see this, and when you look at Revelations, and it says, calculate the number of the beast means power. In order for Satan to have that power, we have to go back to Genesis. It seems really clear to me that the mark of the beast is the three submissions and those three powers. You have to submit, basically you can't buy or sell, so the monetary system and the government. We know more and more we're going through a cashless society. The government plays also with the agriculture. Monsanto is in the government. They go back and forth. They control the Terminator gene inside the wheat and everything else. They've actually, what is it? They've actually taken over other farms because their Terminator gene, or the wheat and the crops and everything they do, the wind comes, they take over the other farms. So they have a legal authority right to take over that, or to have them destroy all their crops. And that's what they have to do. They have to destroy their crops. There's legal authority and power in there through the monetary systems and food. So you see that. What about the church? Where's the power in a church? Who has truly the power in a church? Remember that graph I showed you? How is it that basically half of supposed Christians believe that abortion is okay? How is it that there is homosexual pastors that are pastors? Right? Because Satan came in and deceived people. We're going to talk about homosexuality later on. And remember, it's a sin like every other sin. Yes, the Bible says it's an abomination, but all of those will mess you up. You're supposed to have grace and truth and love. So there's the other one. What's the last one that I just missed? I said money through food, religion. Oh, and obviously the governmental power. DARPA. You guys know about DARPA? DARPA has to do with our health and control of our health as well. We know that the government already controls so many aspects of our lives. We are so conditioned to give over things that when the enemy comes and the mark comes, in essence, remember, the right hand also means submission, right hand of fellowship. You will bow. The head, when you think about the head on your head, you're looking at the Jews. They used to put that little thing in there with gods. They submit to God. So you have to submit body, soul, and spirit. It doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to see a mark here, but a mark also means the authority of. So when I give you my right hand, I bow to you. It's not the left hand, it's the right hand. For example, when you say Jesus is at the right hand of the Father, it doesn't mean he's constantly sitting next to the right hand, but he is in the power and the majesty. He is the power of God. Can he be sitting there also? Well, yeah, but then he doesn't have to because the three are one, they are together. So there's also the power aspect of that. So in closing, as I see this mark and we see that it can come out in so many different forms, people are asking, is it facial recognition? Is it the chip? We know that they have facial recognition right now. We know that technology in itself, artificial intelligence, can control us, can cause us to worship the beast, cause us not to buy and sell. That is a huge power. And I think I told you guys, when was it? Maybe it was around 5 years ago. I don't know if it was Facebook or Google, or they came together. They created an algorithm. And they created artificial intelligence that could talk to each other. Well, I don't know how long it was, but they started to talk to each other, and they couldn't understand what they were saying. In a rush, they went to shut it off because they were taking control. Now, when you think about the movie The Matrix, that really is weird, but it can happen. Because if you had, they shut it down because it was a threat of the computers talking to each other and seeing humans as a threat in some way. and they wouldn't know what they can do. They would break through anything. They can actually take missiles and launch them. That is the extremity of AI right now. It's amazing. In about 10 to 20 years, they're predicting an artificial brain. And you can see that in science magazines all around, along with so many weird stuff. Weird, really freaky. It's amazing. So anyway, back in Genesis, you see that those three things were still in there, and we maybe next week we'll finally get into chapter 2. I don't know. Who knows? But the mark of the beast in general is your submission to him, giving yourself body, soul, and spirit, and bowing down to him. The mark, the 666, as I see it, is the power that is in this world. And that's clear to me, but you never know. If you guys have a different opinion, you can talk to me afterwards. You see the progression from it and how Jesus was tempted by it. Jesus came to restore relationship, and he's going to bring back everything else that is corrupt and missing in our lives. So again, looking at Genesis to understand prophecy and everything else in the Bible, it's so important to look at the book of beginnings. That is why, again, I believe the Satan and so many people want to come against Genesis, because it sheds light on so much of the Bible and what it means. And to me, especially the mark of the beast and how the enemy has taken that power from man that God gave us. We see it working right now. And of course, come quickly, Lord Jesus. And it seems like he's going to. So we're cutting a little bit earlier today, even though last week it was like an hour and, 10 minutes? So I gave you guys a break. All right, so let's pray. Father, I just thank you for your word and your truth, and that you will restore all things, Lord Jesus. And even though the enemy right now has a certain amount of power, Lord, we know that we are conquerors through you. I would ask right now in these last times, Lord Jesus, that you would give us the strength to be bold for your word, and the strength to endure whatever you would have us to endure. And also that you would open the eyes, the minds, and the hearts of your church, those people who are called by your name, Lord, that they would humble themselves and turn from their ways, Lord, and accepting so many things that go against you. Those who are given heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. Open their eyes, Lord. And I know also, Jesus, that in these last days, you've opened our minds of understanding through the power of your spirit, and I thank you for that. But Lord, just speak to us even now and give us everything we need, Lord, to go boldly and to continue to deny ourselves and take up our crosses for your sake. And we look forward to the day, Lord, when we are with you, glorifying you and just enjoying you and full relationship, seeing you face to face. We thank you, Lord, for your word and your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, and we'll see you next. Oh, we'll see you Sunday with Pastor Tim in 1 John Peter. Dyslexic, I can't see it. Peter. All right, God bless.